Good morning, everyone. Everybody doing good? Thank you, Jesus, for your presence, babe. You did amazing. Yeah, the worship team, everybody, man. My gosh. So glorious. And again, I'm teaching this morning on what you were singing. We always do that. She'd be sneaking into my prayer notes and stuff. Man, excited to be back in the presence of the Lord with you guys. Trying to think where to start. Tommy, give it up. So grateful. I was remembering, man, you'd appreciate this. I just had to hop over to Dallas quick the middle of last week. Me and Judah was teaching over there. And I was over at Todd's place, dear friend Todd Wyden. And so normally when I'm in different houses, if I can remember, I will share, you know, just I love to honor. Honor's real big. We're going to touch on it this morning. And it's just true and it's just right. It's just kingdom. And so I was recollecting some stories of Todd, fun, but also just real, him and God. And it spun over. It kind of spring bounced or bounced over to one I remembered with you that was epic that many of us know, but some newcomers will love it with Tommy. Just so thankful for everyone. So anyway, this one with Todd, though, we were on one of our events we used to do before COVID got interesting and bunch of loopholes you had to jump through on this glory cruise, we would call it. It's just an excuse to trap everybody on a ship for 3 days in the glory, and then you got a bunch of unbelievers trapped on the ship with you. It's brilliant. They can't go anywhere. And a lot would go down. It was really amazing. But anyway, so this... Yeah, definitely. So this one, though, he went to work out in the gym, and this big old burly dude, I don't know if you had heard this one before. Yeah, he walks up to him. I don't know how Todd gets away with some of the stuff he does. It's just his calling, his grace. I would get like knocked out if I tried this. But he goes up to this big burly dude in the gym. He just smacks him right in the chest. I mean, just wham. He goes, I hope you got Jesus under all them muscles. And he said the guy was kind of angry at first, but then he couldn't help it. He just melts. Like, Todd will just melt you, man, with love. And so then it reminded me, because I'm with a lot of their community and their students and stuff. So I said, oh, man, I got to tell you guys this one. My man Tommy, he's over with us, big dude. As you can see, he practices. Like, he warms up with like 480, I think, on the bench. So he was in the gym, one of our favorite stories, one time. And it kind of goes like this. And he was going crazy in there. We love just if you can stay fit and exercise but he was just in a rhythm. And the guys, I guess one of the guys, yeah, saw Tommy just going crazy with the weights and just getting a good exercise in. They don't realize, though, a lot of times, and we're similar, that he's locking in worship. He's like halfway with God, but halfway throwing weights around, just staying in shape. And so the guy comes up to him. He's like, bro, what is your playlist? You're going crazy in here. Like, you got Metallica? Like, what are you playing? I'm teasing, some worldly, heavy, you know. I'm sure they thought this way. Is that even still a band? I'm aging myself. There were some old, like, very dark, yeah. So they're like, what is your playlist? You're going crazy in here. And he said, oh, yeah, man, let me check. He pulls out his phone. He goes, oh, yeah, that's Love Note from Upper Room. He said they looked at him like a deer in the headlights and just kind of kept walking like, And Tommy's like, you ought to get you some of that. Anyway, I love that story. It's one of my favorites. So I'm really excited this morning. You see, we got some more chairs, and just with the growth, we're super grateful. And as many of you know, first off, intercede for that LED wall. He's being rebellious. That's why they went out. He was like, you know, I ain't working this Sunday. I've been grinding for about a year of Sundays. No, I'm teasing. I think it's something to do with stuff that's beyond my pay grade, but... That's why that's that way. I was telling Jason in worship, I was like, bro, because I peeked over, I didn't know if we had lyrics on this. And I said, we just got to hear the spirit on what the song is, you know. You could see it on the back wall. We should all flip around and just worship that way. I've shared this before. It just reminded me, I was in Columbia years back. Yeah, I think it was Columbia. And this church, when I came in, out in the middle of nowhere, very dangerous area we were in, just up in the mountains, like just rough area, mission field. And but it was one of the, it marked me in a good way from knowing that the presence of God is not always seen with the outward eye of what we sum up as accomplishments. or quantity in numbers. God's into quality. And we need him. Give me a foot wide river that's a mile deep, far over a mile wide river that's an inch deep. You can't do nothing with that. Little kids can maybe play with their floaties, but you give me a deep river. And so God, that's what he's after in this hour. And that's what this church was we ran up in. I didn't know what I was getting into. But you go in there and the worship leader, that's just the way they did it. He's facing the wall. He's facing that way. He's on his keys worshiping the wall. And then the whole team, Mariah, how are you doing? I hadn't seen you in a bit. Anyway, worshiping. And then the pastor, same thing. They're all facing the wall. I was like, that's awesome. And not that it's about the technique, but their heart. And I knew quickly, I was like, the pastor, it was about half full when we got there. How many of you know, let's be honest, sometimes the Hispanic culture, they can roll in late. I love it, man. You know what I'm saying, Ruben knows. And so they roll in, but halfway into worship, it's good. It's the grace they roll with. But halfway into worship, it's packed out in there. And the glory of God was so thick. They're all facing this way. You could tell basically the worship leader and all them didn't give a rip who was in the room. And you could tangibly feel the presence of God. I was like, man, it's so, so rich in here. And then a bomb went off that night. Jesus moved really powerfully. And later I find out after, the pastor had raised the dead, like men walking with God, just deep, deep man of God. And it was so good. I forgot how I got there, but I love the glory. Dead raising. Deep river. Anyway, I forgot how I got there. Oh, yeah, worshiping backwards. That's what it was. Yeah, I knew I was on some type of train track. Another quick one, then we'll jump on the word. Train track brought me there. This morning, as fun and as childlike as it is, but I really take it for what it's worth, I think it's definitely probably Tommy and anybody. Is there anybody else named Tom or Thomas in here? I know my dad. I have the middle name Thomas. Any Thomases back here? Of course, Brownsville Tom. Your name's Thomas? Last name. That'll work. Anybody else? Okay. I think definitely just watch it and pray into it. But I saw just loving Jesus very quickly. If you all remember, I think his name is this, Thomas the Train, like a blue color. Yeah, he just snuck up in my prayer time. And his sweet little face and all this, you know. And but I believe there's great like acceleration coming, and it helps to know, because once a train gets going, you can't, it's tough to slow down. It takes a minute. And it's when it's God's on it, it's his goodness. Typically it can look like, even in the financial realm, stuff just picking up, but it can get busy. And then even for you, young man, Thomas, I would just take it, whoever has the name Thomas, but train and an acceleration. When God hits it, you can't slow him down. You can't just all of a sudden pump the brakes and just stop at a red light. So there's something with favor, acceleration. It may look a little more busy, but it's good because it's God. So just receive that. That'll be good. And all right, let's jump in and pray. Just excited with where we can go. Lord, thank you so much for your presence and your word. You're so good to us. Thank you, Lord, that you are life. Thank you that everything is found in you. Thank you, Lord, that only one thing is needed, to sit at your feet and listen to your word. Holy Spirit, have your way. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we love your protocol. We love your heavenly realm. I say angels of God ascend and descend in this place. River of life, go forth from the throne, Revelation 22. River of life, ask for a strong current, Lord. Suck your people into it, into freedom and liberty and truth. Spirit of wisdom and understanding and the fear of the Lord come. Thank you for conviction. Thank you for love. Jesus, please be glorified. Be pleased. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. That got good quick. Stuff slows down when he comes for me. So anyway, if you guys want to turn with me to Romans chapter 1, right after the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. Let How many of you love the river of life? It's pure as crystal, the Bible says. Pure as crystal. Comes forth from the throne. Runs right down the center of the street. It's the focal point of heaven because it's Him. I detoured again, rabbit trail. Won't be doing the counterbalances, but we'll probably pick back up, just follow it however long it goes. But I got hemmed up in Romans 1 on this gold bar that I'd love to break down with you all, and we kind of chop it up together and see where it lands. And you know what I'm thinking, if time permits, is at the end, I was praying it through, as we do a fire tunnel. We hadn't done one in a while this morning. And maybe that's where the river too will pick back up. And so how many of you have not been through one of those or even know what a fire tunnel is? Okay, awesome. Several hands. Awesome. It's a tunnel you go through and it burns. It's just fire. No, not literally. I'm teasing. So biblically, there's the laying on of hands. You know, it's super vital. It's like one of the fundamentals of the faith. The laying on of hands, and you can see throughout Scripture that so many things happen when there's the laying on of hands, prayer. Gifts of the Spirit can be imparted. Paul says, I long to be with you that I may impart a gift, meaning I can't do it through Zoom. Zoom's powerful, but let me tell you, there's something coming where you will not be able to neglect the coming together of the saints. Together, touch, close, proximity. It's a real thing, and thank God for those things. Thank God for YouTube and our family across the world online. But with where the days are heading, you want to get locked into a community. There's a vision earlier this year I saw. I haven't shared this publicly yet, but let's go for it. And I don't know when, so we could be ahead of the curve. But I was in prayer, a deep place, and got taken up, kind of how you would see like maybe Google Earth or the maps or something, and see the Earth. And it looked like a whole city. But everything blacked out. It was a major, just the power just shut off on the entire city. It was an entire blackout. And I kept looking into the vision, and all of a sudden I saw a light pop up over here and then a light over here. It's almost like you do iPhones in the dark. Kind of like our graduation. Remember that? And they were, and then they began to pop all over the place, these lights in the darkness. And as I saw the vision play out, they all started to form, connect, and find each other. And they formed the face of Jesus, and then I came out of it. And it's this whole thing in 1 Corinthians, it's a verse behind it. And so what was funny is Michael didn't know this, Koulianos, dear friend. We talk all the time. And so I was somewhere traveling, and I just come out of the vision, so I was breaking it down in 1 Corinthians. He calls me. He's like, bro, this revelation came on the light in his face, and dot, 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 dot. It was like this synchronization. It happens a lot with this. And I go, yeah, bro, this verse. He goes, whoa, he was hitting these other verses. He was pulling. So there's a lot prophetic there, thank God. But literally, I think we're even heading into days where, you know, not to get too top heavy on like the end times, but, you know, say things go out in an electrical way. You can't just hop on a Zoom call with your buddy across the way or jump on a FaceTime. You got to find each other. We can't announce a sin gatherings anymore. How are we going to? There's no Instagram, you know. And I think where the days are heading, he's bringing the body together. And thank God for technology now. But when things start hitting an all time high in the higher levels of that which we know gets shook, we're going to need each other. And I'm getting excited. The light of His glory and the union of the body is going to be something like this earth has never seen. It's going to form His face. It's what He's longing for, and He's hoping we do it now, but sometimes it takes shaking to really create it in His people and kind of force us. So persecution is a good thing. The pressures and shaking of the earth, they're a good thing. They're going to only unite the bride in the glory of our face. I'm telling you, just know that we're all about the book. It's going to get wild. There's going to be, I think, so many things that on biblical proportion that this earth has not yet seen. No, actually, no eye has seen or ear heard. Dead raisings, food multiplications, just raw power, great grace from Acts 4, where everybody's is everybody's. And but the fear of the Lord at an all-time high. Amen. At an all-time high. You dare not. There was a reverence. It said that when persecution hit an all-time high in the book of Acts, it said that a lot of the Christians dispersed, but the apostles didn't budge because of reverence. They said, no, I remember. Story got back through town. If you lie to Peter, you're going to fall flat. Don't do that. And it should be on the whole church. It's just how it fell out biblically. So the fear of the Lord is going to come back, and it's ever increasing, and I'm super thankful. So didn't mean to go into all that, but really excited with where the days are heading. And it's going to be good. But Romans 1, start in verse 18 and then read through. And I mainly today want to camp out on verse 21. We'll just sit there all morning. Won't be long. Oh, yeah, fire tunnel. How did I end up on the... Man, I'm hitting them this morning, boy. Rabbit trails. Yeah. We used to have a rabbit named Butterscotch. I taught our students. He was awesome. Zoe taught him to jump on the couch like a dog. He was cool. And oh yeah, until he chewed up our washer line. Yeah, I went to do laundry one day, and I'm like, click, click, click. It wouldn't work. And I looked behind. I don't know how he didn't get fried. He chewed up like an electrical line in half. And so he made it back to the pet store pretty quick. We blessed him back with Butterscotch. Anyway. But yeah, so fire tunnels, though, just the laying on of hands and gifts can be imparted, as I touched on, fresh baptisms of the Holy Spirit. We need to stay filled with the Holy Spirit, continually filled, overflowing, pickled. It's a definition. I won't go into it. I mean completely saturated in the Holy Spirit of God. You just live in liberty. How do I be led by the Spirit? Stay possessed by Him. He runs your world. Top-heavy carnal folks are not led real well. Baptized spirit people, they don't know anything else. They're possessed. And the spirit moves this way and they're that way. It's just kind of a bit slippery. And so, that'll happen. A lot of people get hit by the presence and power of God. Healing happens with the laying on of hands. James says, call for the elders and have them anoint you with oil. Yeah, it's getting a bit saucy. Is that just me? it's getting a bit Revelation 22-ish, or a river. And elders, anoint with oil, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Not maybe. It's guaranteed in the presence and power of God by the new covenant and the word. So, joy unspeakable, full of glory. So I think you'll like it, the fire tunnel. That's basically what I was getting to. Thank you, enjoy it. I would come on through. We normally start on that side and go that way. Yes, Lord. Yeah, there's a lot of Bible verses for joy. Just want to make sure you knew that. A lot of verses. Hebrews 1:9 says that that Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness beyond his peers, happiest man alive. That's also in Psalm 45:7. Yeah. All over. Psalm chapter 16. Really, really good one. Verse 11. It says, in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. Like you can't get any more full of joy outside of the presence of God. And pleasures forevermore. You know, Acts chapter 2, Peter, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, he says, look, they're not drunk as you suppose. He had to make a disclaimer. And so it's really good. Just want to encourage you guys with that. one of the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, joy. It's all over, all over, all over. Ephesians 5. don't be drunk on wine. Paul's like, why would you do that? You can be filled with the Spirit. He's like, wine? No. That's why? You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. So good. Thank you, Lord. So thankful. Yes, indeed. All right, ready? Romans 1. You guys ready? So I'll start in verse 18. How many of you really like a good old dose of depression? No, it's not in heaven. It's not there. Okay, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. I'm telling you, that fire tone is going to be dangerous. You can tell. I don't know. Yeah, we got time. Glory tunnel, you could call it. We named one in Sweden. Here goes another, Brother Scott Strill. I was preaching in Sweden one time, and the way the sanctuary went, it went up, and there was an aisle in the middle, and Johan, my interpreter, he was Swedish, let's be honest, you're only as good as your mouthpiece. Just if you travel in ministry, you're only as good. The anointing of God can take over a meeting. Thank God he did this time. But if it's a teaching, preaching meeting where you need to be coherent and comprehend, and you're only as good as your interpreter. And bless Johan, I hope he didn't see this, but it was tough. It was going bang, English and then broken Sweden and Swedish. And but thank the Lord, the Holy Spirit came and joy just took over the meeting, and he got intoxicated. I lost my interpreter anyway, but it wasn't much of a help, if I'm being honest. I needed it. And soon the bomb went off, and so we started a tunnel up the aisle. But we nicknamed this one the Butter Tunnel because it was like we're going uphill in the glory. That's an impossible feat. Bodies, you can imagine, just whoa, and then, so they're piling up and coming. It was butter from Jump 29, but it's like slipping. You're going to go uphill in the glory. You go up in the Spirit, but that gravity, that kabod's coming against you, you know, it's precious. But I think the one today is going to get good. So verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Gold nugget there. We're not going to sit there long. But basically, wherever ungodliness is or unrighteousness is the suppression of truth. It's so helpful to know. Anytime we start to suppress truth, you've then begun to ignite and make alive that which is ungodly and unrighteous. May we never suppress truth. To suppress something is to control it, keep it down and confine it. We want truth to be totally free in our life. We go to it. You know, and even the Bible, you never want to come to the Bible with what you have preconceived and you make the Bible lean to you. You yield to it. I was just telling my kids last night at dinner this. We come under it, like we submit to it. We renew our minds unto it. But anyway, suppression of truth, help us, Lord, not do that. Verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, this is it right here, verse 21, is so powerful. This really rocked me the other day, and I pray it would you as well. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And so what I want to do here is obviously teach it super quick in context where you can see this downward spiral begin, but really reverse engineer it for you and I so we can be like, oh yeah, we see this clearly. We don't want to go there. But if we'll flip this, reverse engineer this scripture, man, it's unto his glory. And it leads to such a powerful life of alignment to him and him being fully glorified in our life. And so real quick, of course, Paul's writing in Romans. And if you go further into that passage, they end up, it's such a downward spiral that starts here in verse 21. At the end of it, God gives them over to a debased mind, all ungodliness, unrighteousness, things like this. But I think if we're not careful sometimes, I've been guilty of this plenty, is we'll read passages like this and be like, oh yeah, that's the debased group. And we see that end and we kind of just put them in a category that doesn't apply to us. But again, we want every scripture to yield to it fully. And I hadn't seen this quite like this before, that 21 is what led to that. So verse 21 that we'll sit on today, it certainly would apply to you and I, and may we flip it again and find us 10 years from now ascending, not digressing, not depreciating in God. And so I'll read it again here. It says, because although they knew God, and I shouldn't be long, they did not glorify him as God. So let's stop there first. This is showing us clearly, of course, if you back up, he's talking about within all of creation, no man will have an excuse, which is another powerful, you can teach on that forever. No man has an excuse. You notice there's very few atheists on their deathbed. There's something in mankind that knows there's a God. This is what this verse is saying. They have no excuse. They've seen it. He's put it in man. And then people are right about at their deathbed, and all of a sudden there's something in them. They know like there's a God. There's very few atheists. That's a whole nother teaching. But how I would apply it to you and I is it says, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, showing us in scripture that you can absolutely be at a place in life where you know him, but you're not quite glorifying him as you should. And then you start to see the progression downward quickly in this verse that's incredible to see, because we can be like, ah, we can catch it early and see the warning of it and do the exact opposite and keep going up in God. So basically, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. And I just want to sit on that word glorify quick. It means, listen to this, it's powerful. Sometimes we just think, oh, give him glory. I glorify him because I praise him and all this. And it is, but if you really break that word down, it means to esteem, honor, cherish, and value rightly. To truly give God glory is to truly value him at the level he should be. And far too often, when we slip here, this thing starts to become a slippery slope quick. And I've done it a million times, so I always know I'm preaching to me. But you can absolutely know God in life, but if we're not careful in time, you can start to come off of truly esteeming him as God in everything. And this is what I want to point out, because sometimes we immediately attribute this kind of talk to God and him as a person. But you have to apply that to everything. God in your life, God in and through your spouse, what he's working and the destiny, everything he's attached to. Because of course, as a person, we think we don't lose esteem, but then what about his hand in your life? Of whatever that may look like, and I'll hopefully give some examples here in a second. But to glorify him is to esteem him, or his workings, or his moving in your life, the chapters, the seasons. I can go way back to where it all started with me and where I've dropped the ball here for sure and done well here, thank God. And I can look back now and tell you, if I came off of esteeming and honoring and appreciating and truly valuing what he was doing in my life, guess what the next one in line is? Nor were thankful. You become unthankful. And once you hit that second phase, it's a slippery slope, man. Because then you go into the next one, futile thoughts, and then a darkened heart. It starts fast. It's that first step. And so what I'm proposing, I'm getting there quick really, is that we reverse engineer it and make sure we're very intentional with great focus and purpose to glorify God in everything. Esteem every little thing that ties back to him in our life, every little thing. every little thing. Thank you, God, that the LED wall went out so we can just focus. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of something. I was on the spot. I should have done better. But I'm teasing. But, you know, anything, just glorify him, though. Esteem, cherish. If you take me back to the very beginning, I've told you guys, even in ministry, he spoke to me to go into media. I don't know if I was going to go here, but had one camera, broke, man, barely getting the bills paid. I got two kids in private school. But he told me clearly, go into media. And so I got a broomstick. I think I told our students this one. I had had enough money to get a box light, $99 box light that shines light in your face, get the shadows out. Had one camera. And then I didn't even have a tripod. So I found a broomstick with duct tape, and I duct taped the box light on it, and I'm like, esteeming it. Thank you, God. However you're going to touch the earth, I'm just obeying you. I don't really care to be in front of a camera. I don't even know what we're doing here. You just told me to do it. So there I am in my kitchen. Hey there. I don't even know what I'm doing. Turn with me to this verse or something. And it began. For you know, we have a studio. And I'm hands and knees. My buddy Brent, we remodeled the whole thing. And I esteem him and I'm thankful. And then you just keep progressing in life. And if in any chapter, even people, I go back farther than that. I was under a man of God, being discipled, incredible man of God, and I esteemed it and cherished it. If you start to slip there, you become unthankful. And if you become unthankful, thoughts guaranteed go to futile, which means perverted. And it's not a bad, dirty thing. It's just misaligned to truth. We get off, meaning we're not meant to leave these first two of always giving him glory and being thankful. And so, but you know, you go back through time of thinking like, oh yeah, every time I esteemed God and you honor and appreciate and keep right value there, you by default stay thankful and you only go up. Your thoughts stay clean and pure to truth and you progress. This is the walk of the believer, to stay here. So what scripture is clearly telling us not to do is to not glorify him. So you can know him, but not give him glory. And the next step, like I touched on earlier, it says, nor were thankful. Let's look at it again, verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. And so again, to reiterate, as soon as we stop honoring things, and this happens in such subtle ways, it's the little things God entrusts to you in your life in seasons to watch you if you're faithful. And at first, we're excited about it. I'm telling you, just think back. You'll notice you've done this before. All of us have done this. And you're very appreciative at first. It's fresh. It's new. It's this. And then you have it for a while. You've been entrusted with it, or it's that leader you're under, or your spouse, or whoever. Anything God's in. And that's everything. If you're a believer, he's behind everything. That coworker that's sent to agitate everything in you. You can esteem that and be like, oh yeah, that's the sand that's turning me into a pearl. Thank you, Lord. Bring it. Bring it, Johnny, or whatever his name is, you know what I mean? You're week two of your work, and you're knowing like what God's doing. He's trying to make you into that pearl, or the pressures of life that are meant to make you into that gemstone that he wants to build within the kingdom. And to be tried. But as soon as we leave valuing things that are right, you become unthankful. And see, 21 is not really any blatant sin. That comes down later. This is where it all starts, verse 21. As soon as you stop valuing, and I just want to let us all know that flesh has a masterful way of devaluing the things of God. It happens so subtle, but progressively in time, it just does it. Even look at prayer. Jesus is like, look, I'm telling you right now, the spirit regarding prayer is willing. Flesh, weak. It doesn't value it. The spirit values it. The spirit, you talk about the word, the spirit's like chomping at the bits. Yes, give me, I'm telling you, your spirit, who is born again, brand new and full of the Holy Spirit. You mention things like the Bible and your spirit because it knows the right value. It hasn't lost esteem. But things that are carnal in your flesh, it tends to devalue things regarding God. And as soon as that first phase hits, gratitude's gone. And then when gratitude's gone, futile thoughts come in and you get off. And so I would pray that the Lord help us avoid this, you know, and go the other way. But anyway, so like Spirit, you talk about the Bible and Scripture, it's all, anytime, any given day, it longs for the Word of God. It longs for the presence of God. It longs to pray. It wants to pray. Flesh doesn't value prayer. Flesh, it'd rather be do what's convenient. It's lazy. Flesh, if it costs me money, I don't want to do it. The Spirit's like, money? Are you kidding me? I break alabaster boxes over the king. Salary worth a year's wages. Are you kidding me? The Spirit sees value rightly. Flesh does not. And you can know God, but if you're flesh driven in time in subtle ways, it'll start to depreciate the things of God. And then it's kind of, eh. And you're not thankful anymore. And then you become futile. And that's where it's, I'm telling you, it's a slippery slope. And I pray the Lord would help us. You know, you even saw it in the one I just mentioned, alabaster box. She comes in, it's all throughout the Gospels. And it says the disciples, they had been running with the Lord. They saw the miracles. They saw the food multiplication and dead raisings. And she breaks, I think, yeah, Scripture says 300 denarii worth of, it's basically a year's wages. You know, when they multiplied food, Philip's like, man, that'd take like 200, Lord, to feed all these people, almost a little over half of a year's wages. But she breaks it over his feet because she knows what she's dealing with here. She values God. That's what glorifying God is, to value him. It's not just because you said it off of your lips. Does your life really give him glory? And so people say, oh, yeah, I want to give him glory with all of who I am. But then you just watch their life choices, and it doesn't, the feet don't match the truly esteemed, because your feet show you what you value. You're going to walk the way of what you truly value. You're going to pay the price. Flesh will have zero say. So when you truly esteem something and honor it in God, there is no price high enough. There is no, you know, and so many, I'm thinking of so many other things. But she comes in and she's like, she values rightly, breaks a year's wages over the Lord's feet. And even the Bible says the disciples closest to the Lord were like, man, do you see what just happened? She wasted all of that. It could have been given to the poor. Their value system was getting off. It's when we stop glorifying God, you can become unthankful. And Judas was the worst there, we know, because his heart was really in money at this point. It was right after that account is where Satan entered him, because he was so hooked on money and he saw the Lord do that. He says, nah, he was after the money. And so right after that, you can see in the Gospels, he goes to the Pharisees, says, hey, how much will you give me to sell him off? And but they say this, and Jesus, as we all recall, says, hey, you always have the poor with you. You can do good to them anytime, but she's done well. And actually, this account on her will be, every time the gospel is preached around the world, will be brought up, because she had her value rightly. And so, and then when we value something the right way, you staying thankful is easy. It's just natural. But as soon as the glory diminishes, thanksgiving goes out of the window. You know what I mean? It'd be kind of like if I had a gold bar and I knew the value of it, then I would take care of it. But if somebody came in here having no clue what it was, you'd just leave it on a seat and walk out there. You're just not as grateful. And these happen in subtle ways in our life, the smallest to the greatest. And what I want us to be is masters by his grace, his goodness, the power of the Spirit, but glorying in God and everything and being thankful, because then your thoughts never go futile. Let's go there real quick. Listen to what futile is. I touched on earlier. It means perverted, crooked, misaligned to truth. Man, we've got so many notes here, but I'll just talk to you from my heart. So then it goes futile thoughts, which is basically misaligned to truth. You just get off. Truth becomes a bit out of reach. So the first step, remember, if we don't esteem and really honor and cherish what God does. Like I told you guys, I was under a guy being discipled years ago, and to some it could have looked like a little get-together eating, talking about the word, but I esteemed it highly. You don't take those things for granted. All of it's a stepping stone to where the Lord's taking you. And any time along the way you start to diminish glory and value and esteem and truly cherishing something that God's in, your thanksgiving will match that. And when that hit happens, I promise you, Scripture's clear, truth is not going to be real pure. your thoughts don't align right. You start looking over the fence and start destiny starts getting, but what if? And it's not a clean way. God's way is to whatever chapter he's got you in, you know, and a good extreme I thought with this, because also what I like to do in scripture is I think it's helpful to you and I is look at the extreme, right? But also pull it back and go to the most cleanest level you can to where, and then fill in the gaps to where it applies to all of us. I think if you read scripture always thinking, you know, it would apply to the other extreme, you kind of think you're fine. I remember I used to do this in the world, like, because I had guys I ran with that were really out there. I was out there, but they were really out there. So I always just kind of would look at them, I'd be like, I'm fine. You know, like you kind of, have you ever done that? Like, I'm not as lost, you know, or whatever. You're all going to hell, you know. And but an extreme would be like this, just to give you a practical example. Say you're married. In scripture, very clearly, God is in that. It's a covenant made that he then, when he sees a marriage come together, he's just cue beam of heaven. That's me. I marked that. I'm on that. It's two becoming one. God's for it. You know, whether you felt like you heard the Lord or not, once that covenant is made, God desires that none should divorce, and he's really for it. It's a blessing from God, each spouse. Well, let's say the husband to the wife or the wife to the husband in time starts to lose sight of the value of their spouse that's really God. And this is how it happens. It's in the everyday life. It's in the familiar. Anybody can keep the esteem on the fresh and the new and the wow, but it's through time. Those things, it's the disciples that have been with Jesus. And they start looking at money as value, and she's like, he is worth more than anything of, you know, any value you could ever imagine. But say the spouse is like, hey, my wife, it's frustrating, it's tough, it's hard, you know, and you just start to devalue and not realize like, hey, scripture says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. You just get off of scripture and stop glorying God in it. Stop giving God glory and esteeming and truly cherishing and keeping right value on what is God. Then you start to become ungrateful. And you start thinking, I don't know, you're not thankful anymore for your wife or wife to the husband. You can flip it however you want. Then that sets in, a month or two passes by, and you're just not thankful anymore because you don't honor anymore. And what I'm proposing this morning is that we be intentional. Glory in God doesn't just fall in your lap. Being thankful is not going to just hit you upside the head. It's something we choose, and you're very intentional about. I can't tell you, not to pat myself on the back, but to hopefully be an example, and I still have a long way to go, how many times I say, thank you, Lord, in a day. Thank you, God. So thankful, man. And it's a place, it's a trench you can dig out of your life that you can't get out of. Just do it. Do it over and over. If you feel it or not, thank you, Lord. Thank you for water. Zoe was like the other day, thank you, God, for the rain. I love the rain. It's been sunny a lot and sounds amazing. Thank you, Lord. It's funny, during Christmas, we had I'm all over the place this morning. But we had a little bird fly in the house, a wren. We nicknamed him Garen with the W. He was awesome. He was hanging with us for like a day and a night. And because since Bullseye died, this is funny, just letting you know, personal life. Since Bullseye died, I got Zoe this, I don't know what you call him. It's super sweet, though. It's a birdhouse that you put food in, and it's got a camera on it. You can see the birds. It's really sweet. So she loves that thing, man. And she'd been keeping up with it, feeding them. I would charge it. She just learned how to charge it because it's solar, but it'll go out. And so we got birds that'll come through. And old Garen, W-R-E-N, we nicknamed him. One day, I think I was working on the house, something left the door open. He flew in the house, but it was during Christmas, so we had a Christmas tree up and a wreath, like over the mantle, and he loved it. He's like, oh, yeah. So he was hanging out in the Christmas tree. We'd be eating in the living room, and he would just fly back and forth. He'd hang out in the wreath, and then, oh, yeah, Zoe's over here. Remember, he'd fly in the wreath. He'd just be posted up looking at us, just sitting on the wreath, like over the mantle. And then he'd fly back over to the tree, and I was like, sweet. And just don't be dropping no bombs on my food. You know, I mean, just go around, make your route around while we're eating dinner. And so we put some of the bird seed on a plate on the dining room table. We found it, man. He was grubbing in the night and stuff. And then we let him out the next day. Well, we were trying to, but he didn't want to leave. He was loving it. He's like, it's cold outside. Y'all got a tree and a wreath and food? He's like, I'm Garin, man. I'm in here. And so he was cool. And so, yeah, then we let him out. And then 2 days ago, a cardinal came in. Yeah, because I was cutting wood. And anyway, so, but little things. Thank you, Lord. You know, so she'll show me at night. Dove will post up in there. And it's such a glorious place of what God is. I mean, even think about it. Jesus he broke bread and gave thanks. He could snap his finger and create bread. The smallest of things, you always want to esteem and give God, you're so good. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to me and I can hear you so clearly. Esteem his voice. Never take it for granted. Esteem his presence. Thank you, Lord, you came. Thank you for peace. And what happens is your thoughts never go futile. They can't. If we do these first two well, esteem, start to go out of your way, be very intentional. If you have to write it down, everybody's wired different, but you just start being very intentional about giving him glory, esteeming, bringing right value back where it's needed in God. So yeah, so the husband, he's like, hey, he loses sight of what true value is. Like, this is my other half. She completes me. This is a covenant before God. And you start losing glory there, you become unthankful. And when you become unthankful, it goes, you can see the progression, futile thoughts, which is misaligned to truth. And then he starts thinking, I wonder if she's even was God's for me. I think I'd be better off with somebody else. See, this is where it goes. And this is the extreme now. But it happens subtle ways to you and I who love God, we know him, but it happens in everyday life. And futile thoughts kick in, but he starts going to futile thoughts and he's like, hey, I think I'd be happier with somebody else, or she to him. And then the next one in line, as we saw, it says, then their foolish hearts were darkened. It's a very slippery slope and a downward spiral. It starts with not esteeming him. Can I get some Kleenex? It starts with starting to come off of truly esteeming and glorying that which is God. And like I told you guys, the carnal realm, flesh, it's naturally not going to glory in God. Spirit does. This is why it's so key. Intimacy, I can't say it enough, fuels everything, the word, staying filled with the Spirit. But flesh, it can't see it rightly. It doesn't value that which is of God. So it won't glory and esteem it rightly. And then that's when gratitude goes out of the window and then futile thoughts. And so he starts thinking that way. And once futile thoughts hit, which is misaligned to truth, perverted, they're just not straight. They get crooked. You begin to have a foolish heart that then gets darkened. And that foolish word in Greek means where no wisdom is. It literally means in Greek stupid. It literally is stupid. It's with no wisdom or understanding. So often when people aren't in understanding, you can track it back to futile thoughts, and somewhere they stop being thankful. And why weren't they thankful? They stop glorying God, glorying in God and glorifying God for the right thing. So when you got to start to wonder, why am I not thankful anymore? It goes back to this first one. And that's where this whole thing just falls off the deep end in Romans 1. But foolishness, a heart that doesn't understand the wisdom, and then a darkened heart means it becomes cut off from the light and life of God. Not because God wants to, it's like I see it as a room. Like I stop glorifying God and truly cherishing that which he's doing in my life, that which he's connected me with. It could be a job, it could be whatever, chapters. And you just start to not value it as much. People in your life, whatever it is that God's doing and in. And you stop that, so you become unthankful. Thoughts start to misalign to truth, and then your heart goes foolish. You start to lose wisdom. You don't understand rightly. And I look at it as the same room, because he says the hearts were foolish and darkened. So I feel like it's you step into a room that blacks out, and it's cut off from the life and light of God. Not that God cut it off. You put yourself there. You become cut off. It's the opposite of Ephesians 1 that Paul prayed desperately. He says, I pray that your hearts be enlightened. And you'll notice the spirit of wisdom's right in there. There's always wisdom with an enlightened heart. But futile thoughts lead to a foolish heart, stupid heart, no wisdom, and no more enlightenment. And it starts going this way. So the reverse engineer side for you and I, and I'll land it, that I want to encourage us is, again, that we major on these first two. We glorify God. We know him, but we glorify him. Thank you, Lord, for every little detail. And value it rightly, and then be thankful. And we must choose this and be intentional. Raise our kids in it. And again, our feet speak louder than our words. They're going to watch you. Just know this, whatever you're walking, whichever way you're walking right now, your kids are following. If your feet are walking in a lower value system of the things of God, because the walk's a lot louder than the talk. If your feet map out the direction of things that just don't quite esteem God where he should be, that's where our children are going to follow. And if we walk it out, though, with great esteem, constant, I mean, again, to the smallest and the greatest. The greatest is easy. Anybody can do that. He did a miracle or this big thing happened or whatever. But I mean the little things, you know. And then that's where the people go. It's not a downward spiral. It's an upward, like gondola that rides to the top of the mountain. It's the butterland. It goes really high in God. So if we'll be intentional about esteeming, valuing, you say, well, man, sometimes I just don't feel it. You choose it and pray, and the Spirit will help you because the Spirit always knows the true value on God. Flesh usually will blur that. And so you learn to not listen to the flesh and be led by the Spirit. And then watch this progression in verse 22, and I'll land it. Well, let's back up to 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And then watch what starts to happen, verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into that which was corruptible. Oh, we do have it up here. Has that been up there the whole time? Oh, that's amazing. This would have been better. So let's back up to 22, please. 21, sorry. Oh, this is amazing. This has been here the whole time. Oh, no way. Y'all are sneaky. I didn't see the eyes. So here we go. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Step one, let's glorify, favor, esteem, honor, cherish everything. Easy to do the big, but even the little. Esteem our children, what God's doing. Esteem that he spoke. The word, his verses, esteem the visions he gave you from of old that you're still stewarding. All of it, everything God. Go overkill here in esteeming and valuing, because as soon as honor goes down, it's pretty awesome. In, I think it's Proverbs 4, it says, cherish wisdom. Some versions say prize it, esteem it, and it will exalt you. And it says embrace it, and I think it'll, if it will lift you up, I forget the second half, to be honest with you, but it's the same concept. Basically, if you cherish and prize it, it will exalt you. And so always know this, anything you stop to honor and cherish and esteem in God, likewise, things will start to diminish and go downward. But anything you honor and cherish, which is just God's way, it goes up. But glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Okay, verse 22. Professing to be wise, they become fools. This is the next, you go into a whole nother teaching. If you start this slippery slope for some reason too, you start to think you're wise in your little obscure world now. You're in a dark, everything's gone. The Bible says your heart becomes stupid actually, but you start actually thinking you're wise. It's very interesting. And you end up going to a debased mind if you stay there long enough, Romans 1 says. But you not only get off on what's wisdom, but this is my favorite part, verse 23, please. Is that Ashlyn? She's doing amazing. Give it up for Ashlyn. She's running the back there. So proud of her. Yeah, Judah was saying she's incredible. And so many of you are, we're so thankful. But, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and garens. I'm teasing. And creeping things. But simply put, what happens is if you don't glorify him up front, you don't give him glory in the end. The way to really give him glory with your life is to esteem him and favor him up front. Because you see that progression where it went is as soon as they stopped glorifying and valuing that which was God and the things of God and all he's doing and saying and making opportunity for and connecting you with, whatever it may be, you lose gratitude, foolish heart, darkened heart, futile thoughts, sorry, and then you end up just glorying that which is corruptible. But a life flipped for you and I that is really intentional. Let's not do good for a week or two. Like, let's 5 years from now make it like our DNA. Like something like riding a bike is just what we do. And if we find each other not doing it, say, hey, no worries, I did that 18 times yesterday. Let's go back here though. Let's glory God. That's very valuable, what he entrusts you with, whatever it may be. And value and honor it, then we'll stay thankful in all things. And that next one, be very intentional about. To me, what I can see in verse 21 is these first two are all that we have to really apply, and the rest takes care of itself. We have to be very intentional about valuing and esteeming that which is God. Be very intentional about being thankful in all things. And then your thoughts don't go futile. Of course, we have to renew our mind, but they don't have the tendency to hit that slippery slope of becoming futile, then foolish, and you don't start flipping glory to that which is corruptible. You really give him glory. Sorry, that's a little complex, but I pray the Lord would help us, and simply put, from Romans 1:21, that let's really go back to, like, please forgive me, Lord, first, and help me esteem, honor, and value you. Down to the, I want to be really good at the slightest details that most overlook. And then when you do that, it's very easy to be thankful. And then when you're thankful, thoughts stay true. They stay aligned to truth. And when you stay aligned to truth, your heart stays enlightened and full of wisdom, full of understanding. People that glorify God the true biblical way and stay thankful, their heart stays in wisdom and understanding. They stay under the glory spout of God's light and life. They stay illuminated. People that leave that path, things get dark, and you start to become alienated and cut off from the life and light of God. So what I'm really excited about is to, again, reverse engineer it for you and I and be like, oh yeah, let's keep each other accountable. Help us, Lord, to glorify you, be thankful, and so our thoughts may stay aligned to truth, so our hearts won't go foolish, but be wise and filled with understanding. You know, if your heart starts to get foolish, guess what happens? You start making foolish decisions. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And this whole other thing.